Prepare to be blown away by Ben and Ralph. Darmalars begins in T-minus 4, 8, 15, 16, 23, 42. The Darmalars podcast begins now.
Surprise, surprise. So you rub your eyes. Never knew you'd a yes, so cool as eyes. Hit a fight, then there was stupefy. Ducks categorize us as hard cries. That's a lie, we know why we're occupied.
Hey, out there in Internetica, it is the Darmalars podcast.
Back with a new episode of Lost to Talk About.
That's right. Woo! Welcome back to season three.
I'm excited.
We are here following the premiere of Not in Portland. Yes. Not without my Portland.
But before we get to that, is there anything new going on?
We'll talk about our lives. What's going on, Ralph? I'm Ben. That's Ralph.
That's me. I'm Ralph.
What's going on, Ralph? What'd you have to do this week?
What I have to do this week?
What did you have to do?
Nothing.
All right.
Other than Comic-Con's coming up.
Yes, and we reserved a room.
In like 4 months or something.
Now, if you and I ever start making out in public and people say, hey, get a room, you two. Too late, bud.
We already got a room.
And it's not making out, apparently.
It's not just us two. It's us two and two other dudes.
It's, you know, frankly, that's a lot of making out. Frankly.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it. Comic-Con's a lot of fun. And it's funny because I think we're seriously at the point of year where we're equally far away from last year's Comic-Con and this year's Comic-Con.
I think you're right.
And it's like, why are we talking about it now in February?
Because the hotel reservations went up this week on Tuesday.
Yeah.
And
then closed out Tuesday at like 10 a.m. They were already booked.
I think, well, they went at 9 o'clock a.m. Yeah. Pacific Standard Time, which
is
for us
where
is
we
9
live, which is regular time.
And I think we got our room reservations
at 9:20, according to that printout.
Like 9:20. And I think like 9:30, they're all done.
Eef. I'm glad you were Johnny on the spot with that one.
It was tough because it bogged down the site.
Yeah, yeah.
You couldn't even get through.
I know. I'm glad I had you for backup. And you know what? If they had 114,000 individual guests last year, I wonder if it's just going to be equally as intense or even more equally intense.
Even if it is, I'm glad we're in a closer vicinity to the convention center.
That's true. That's right. We're I'm looking forward to it.
I'm going to start calling it the convention from now on.
You don't want to call it a con?
Nah. That's too nerdy.
Oh, yeah.
And you know how I hate nerds.
And if you're going to the Comic-Con, you really need to hold on to every last shining light of non-nerdness. Yeah,
I can't stand nerds.
I know.
With their obsessions, their podcasting. And they're spending their free time doing
this
show.
I can't do that awkward voice.
Bedroom.
I have like an awkward face, but I can't tug on my collar into my microphone.
C-3PO would be able to pull it off, and he doesn't have a face.
That's true. Think of how limited he was.
I know, but he was so great.
He could express himself. R2 didn't even have words.
So I say, I hate nerds.
Good point. Good point.
Oh, man.
F you, nerds.
We're nerds.
Oh, yeah.
But not
Shit.
As much as...
Oh, yes. Wait. We're nerds, but not as much as me.
Half of us are not as much nerds as Ben. The other half is Ben.
We're See if both, you can follow
I
that one.
I think we're both equally nerdy, but for different things.
Oh, you know what's funny is like I get accused of being a nerd a lot, but I always feel like I'm not really good enough at it. Mm-hmm. Like I don't, I'm not an expert in any one particular brand of nerd.
What about Zardoz?
Oh, I'm a total expert on Zardoz. I could minor in Zardoz if they offered it at a school.
You know, like Zardoz is short for.
Oh, that's a spoiler.
All right. I don't want to spoil anybody.
Anyone who wants to watch Zardoz still has a chance, thanks to me. I fucking saved you.
If you guys want to see laser light shows of boner erections, rent Zardoz.
If you're sitting around thinking, where can I see a laser light show of a boner erection? Bam, John Boorman. Thank you.
Yes.
Oh,
man.
Produced by Dylan's ex-boss, Laddie Ladd,
right? No one knows what's going on. No one knows that stuff.
No one cares.
They're probably thinking of a different Dylan.
They probably are. Good point.
And a different Laddie
Ladd. Who's his boss?
Some admiral, Jewish carpenter.
The rear admiral.
My co-pilot's a Wookiee.
So, what else? What else happened this week? No well, movies out. Oh, you saw Spooky
Aces? It's been a while.
Yeah.
It's been a while. It's
I say
more
this
than
week.
A week, I know. The hiatus. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Six, what, 8 weeks?
It wasn't even Advent when we, when the last
we weren't even, aired. I hadn't even given my love 12 Lords of Leaping yet.
I know, and I've eaten like 12 candies.
That's true.
Because it's crappy candy,
you know,
so I don't eat all the candy
out of my
calendar.
It went pretty fast.
I don't think it went fast, but I think now that Lost is back, I feel like it never left.
Fair enough. That makes sense.
Yeah, I got it. Plus, I watched season one and two of Lost during that time
so
period.
So for you, it literally never left.
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought...
And you know what's funny? Watching it this time around, I now realize why we no longer see the plane wreckage. Because apparently it went out to sea. I missed the few lines of dialogue spread throughout like three episodes.
Where they were moving because of
where they were moving
the tide was coming
in. Because the tide was taking the stuff out.
Yeah. There you go.
All right.
The tide washed away their memories.
Yeah. So, Lost.
Lost. Remember that show?
I remember it from 2 days ago.
Oh, yeah. Well, we should talk about that.
You guys want to get to it?
Let's get Lost.
All right.
Optimus Prime, dude.
Right away.
Right
guys,
away.
If you guys want to know about the Transformers movie, Optimus Prime
is
totally
in it. Go see it. I still saved you. I totally saved you. Woo!
He dies right away.
All right. Come on.
Not in Portland.
Not in Portland.
Finally, a title that makes sense.
Yeah.
And finally, a title that's totally stupid. It's just not a very good title. Not in Portland.
Nope. Well, you know what's funny is like if they give us enough titles like that, we can figure out where they are. Just get a giant map of the world and cross off Portland.
Where in the world is San Diego, California? It's right there.
I wanted more from the coming back episode. I wanted more punch.
Nah.
I wanted more of a grabber.
Nah.
I did.
You know what's
funny? It does say nah. Yeah, I did.
It's funny because the day the show aired, I talked to a former podcaster on the phone, and I was telling him, he was saying, you know, what song are they going to put at the beginning of the episode? I'm like, well, it's not like a season premiere.
Right.
And then I said, but if they do, I bet you if what they'll do is they'll make it on the island, or it'll look like it's on the island, but it's really not on the island. Like, they'll do the reverse of the Desmond scene and the
okay.
other scene.
Which was
which
what
totally
happened. Kind of, yeah.
I was kind of excited.
Juliet
like
saw
when,
Ethan.
I like when I predict little shit that's, like, pointless, but...
But you still called
I'm
it.
I'm like, yeah, dude, that's right.
Makes you feel like you're tapped in, huh?
I know what's up.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what's up.
They can't fool me.
Ethan, that, you know, William Mapother?
That's my first note, William Mapother?
Yeah. Creepy looking.
That's my note. William Mapother?
Mapother?
Creepy.
I mean, there's
Did,
nothing.
Was it Stuff or Maxim?
I don't know.
It's one of those men's gentlemen's magazines. And it was at Ben's
With
house.
With articles about polo.
Fox hunting.
Other gentlemanly concerns.
I was thumbing through at this gentleman's
I was thumbing
magazine.
Up my ass while I was looking at a gentleman.
And, at Ben's house.
whoa.
There was an article on William Mapother. And it, like three times at least in this article about him mentioned how he's a normal average looking guy, but he's always cast in the creepy role.
Which is an interesting theory, but the premise is faulty.
It is. I watched that episode last night or the night before, I suppose.
Kind of creepy.
That dude is creepy.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, I mean,
he's creepy.
No offense, bro.
No, fuck you, William.
Are you trying to offend William?
No, I want him to call our show, and I want him to tell us that everything that happened in that Stuff magazine is false, because he does have a creepiness to him.
So he needs
creepy.
To personally retract
he's
the article.
He's creepy. And you know, it might be what he's doing with his facial expression to make him like that cold, dead stare.
Yeah, maybe he can turn it off. And maybe it's like an acting character.
I have yet to see it turn off. Because even when he's like smiling at Hurley when, during the manifest scene in season one, he's
still kind of there. Well, you saw The Grudge, right?
I did see The Grudge.
He was in that, yeah.
But he wasn't even playing one of the creepy guys, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Was he creepy in that?
I don't know. I don't remember that movie. So I don't form opinions. I guess.
Did you see the bus in the background before it totally demolished that dude?
I did.
I saw that bus and I was like, hey, fucking step into the street and meet your bus, dude.
You know what? I totally, like, I swear to God, like an instant before it happened, it completely erased from my mind. I totally forgot about it.
You saw the bus?
Like, I'm like, that guy's going to get hit by a bus. I know it. I know it. I know it.
And then you forgot?
Scene. Do-do-do. Oh, my God. He got hit by a bus.
Wow. They're
running
really
around and get hit by a bus.
Where are the bus hits? Yeah, that was a harsh. That was a fast hit.
It was. It was a rocket bus too.
Yeah,
that guy, that sucker picked up some speed from that.
That's the Crosstown Express.
It's like that Lexus commercial where they drop the Lexus.
Yeah,
and the other Lexus is racing.
Yeah,
dude, that would have been rad if that bus hit him,
and then another bus fell
on top of him,
and then his shoes shriveled up.
And then
he has a tiny umbrella, like a cocktail umbrella.
That's funny.
Yeah, that guy got demolished. That was sad.
Edmund.
Edmund Burke.
Edmund Burke.
All right.
All right.
Juliet's sister.
Yeah. Was she a dude at one point? That's the information I gathered.
She was actually a male rat.
Ooh. She's able to turn a rat into a pregnant lady.
Speaking of male rat, what about Batmanuel?
That's who he was.
That was Batmanuel, dude.
That's who he was. Eyeliner.
Nestor Carbonell. He was the one that came to...
Like a dude with the eyeliner in this episode.
He came to Juliet and said, hey, is it okay if we hit your old man with a bus?
Yeah.
She was like, yeah, go for it. If I remember correctly.
That eyeliner was placed there for a specific reason.
That can't have been a mistake. That was intense.
It was there to make it creepy, and it was there so we'd recognize him the next time we see him.
Hmm. Yeah, that was Batmanuel.
So he worked for the what company?
Metalos?
Metalos? I have it written here.
It's like Mittelos.
Well, if you unscramble the letters, you get Lost Time.
Ooh. If you unscramble the letters, you get Darmalar's Kickass.
That's awesome. .com.
.com. If anyone wants to reserve that domain, go for it.
And start the webpage because I don't know shit about doing that.
Juliet's sister, which was what I was going to say before I got distracted by the manly goodness of Batmanuel. Juliet's sister was on Deadwood.
Oh, awesome.
So that makes two Deadwood stars that are on Lost this year.
Probably more.
That's probably more.
Let's go back earlier in the episode because there's something that I really thought was pretty badass, and that's Danny's head electrocution.
Yeah. Sawyer
just racking his head into that thing until it electrocuted his head.
Waiting for it to bolt him. That was cool.
Oh, that was awesome.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
And Carl with his little his Clockwork Orange technique.
Yeah, what did those glasses remind me of? It's like a Soundgarden video or something.
They reminded me of... No, I think they reminded me of those cyborg dudes from Flash Gordon, the movie. The ones that are like Lobot style. They have like goggles that are like...
Yeah, what is that? It was in Ghostbusters 2, Sigourney Weaver?
yeah, when she's trying to restore that painting and she looks up at him.
It was weird.
One of the flashes...
I liked it because it was the first thing on the show that really felt sci-fi to me.
Yeah. It was pretty intense, but it's also kind of like...
God, it went on so long.
Yeah, and it was bumping.
Yeah, the music was weird. Dude, my favorite part of the episode, and I actually tracked this the second time I watched it, Sawyer had 9 lame one-liners in the show.
Nice.
Those one-liners were nonstop.
Dude, he was in... Because he just got laid. He recharged his powers.
That's not what happens.
If you remember, He just got laid the night before. He's ready to go.
That's awesome.
You can't go out there with a loaded gun. Speaking of loaded gun, Juliet, huh?
Yeah.
She fucking took Danny out. No hesitation.
That was rad.
Three bullets.
Danny fucking is dead.
There's no doubt.
Wow.
That guy is quite dead.
That guy got murdered.
That was pretty awesome.
That guy.
He's not a threat to Sawyer anymore.
He's not a threat to anything.
Well, he could be a threat to your drinking water.
I don't drink island water from the ocean.
Good. Well, then, good. You're set.
It could take the salt out of miles and miles.
They can desalinize him with his corpse.
Wow! Imagine all that salt.
Did you go on the internet at all today? Did you see if people had like freeze framed the stuff from that video?
Nah, but I did look at stuff.
I saw DeGroot.
Let's see what I have here.
I saw Gerald DeGroot from the electromagnet stuff.
Some things I saw was some loose change.
Yeah, I saw that.
I saw some fish.
Uh-oh.
I'm not a big fan of fish.
I saw the moon.
There was fireworks?
Yeah, they wanted to show him how
pretty awesome.
This is how kick-ass it could be if you join the others.
I saw DeGroot.
DeGroot, totally.
I saw some loose change.
Producer Ryan could use that to do his laundry.
There was a fish.
Wait.
And I saw DeGroot. Carl's torture scene, too long. I already said that.
You decided to make it longer by recapping it twice?
Yeah. Well, because we started jumping around and now my notes are, because my notes are chronological, so I'm just kind of, like, there's a hit by bus, smash, 3 exclamation points.
Why did you say it as a question then?
Exclamation points.
It's just an exclamation twice.
I gave it a question too because I was confused is why I put 3 exclamation points. 3 exclamation points?
Question mark?
That deserves 4 exclamation points with 1 exclamation point going through a diagonally to make 5 exclamation points. Is it just me or was Juliet kind of walking funny? Does she have wooden legs?
I didn't notice anything like that.
She kind of had a little like weird waddle.
She's probably walking funny because I gave it to her last night.
What did you give to her?
Wooden legs. So she can walk around.
That's rad, dude.
I thought she might enjoy them.
Wow.
What else? Smash?
I have previously on Lost show all actors.
Okay, I watched the recap. Did you guys watch the recap?
I did watch the recap. It was excellent.
I watched the recap. And then seconds afterwards, there was a previously on Lost.
Yeah.
That makes sense for syndication or whatever. But
there was some stuff on the Scott and Steve board about how I hate the previously on Lost section.
You specifically?
Yeah. Well, I just hate it.
Okay.
Because you fast forward through it, but you'll see like glimpses of like flashback characters, and it kind of gives away what you're in for. Because
it's plot specific.
Yeah.
It's to prepare you for this week's episode.
Yeah, so
I can see that.
I hate watching that. And I'm glad that the credits show all actors, even though there was only like 4 actors in this episode.
Yeah.
But I'm glad it says Naveen Andrews because
more
that way
Paolo.
It lets me know like that's not a spoiler.
Yeah.
Unless it says special guest William
Mather.
And then I go, oh, Ethan's in this episode.
Yeah, I try not to read the credits.
I try not to either, but I'm glad that they put all of them in there.
Yeah.
So as not to, you know, arouse my suspicions on who is going to be in the episode.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to getting back to the main group of survivors.
Yeah.
Because I'd like to see some stuff with them. It's been a while.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later on the coming up on Lost segment.
Oh, so in this episode, what happened was...
I have on my notes laser shot with 2 exclamation points.
Laser shot?
Yes. That walkie-talkie was fucking toast.
Yeah.
That walkie-talkie got fucked up.
Like, this episode was not kind on walkie-talkies.
No, it wasn't.
Those things are endangered.
Or on sand or logs.
Yeah.
It was pretty kind on people, except for Danny.
Except for poor Danny.
2 bullets in Danny.
That poor sap.
A bazillion bullets in everything else.
In the ground. And walkie-talkies.
Swiss Cheese Island. You want to hear another note that I have?
Yeah.
Alex equals bad acting.
Yeah, she does. And she equals, like, weird color contacts? Or something?
And she also eagles. Well, the thing is, the whole Wookiee bear scenario, I mean, I guess she's acting as her character would be acting, but I think when she's not in the Wookiee prisoner scenario,
yeah,
it's still bad acting.
Yeah, slightly. I don't know.
There's something off about her.
But she's spent her whole life on an island, maybe? The actress? I'm thinking.
So she's awkward.
She grew up in Manhattan. Give her a break.
What do you think of this note? It's another equals note that I wrote down. Ben equals withstand pain. Shh. With a lightning bolt exclamation mark.
Let's not test that.
It's not you, Ben.
I know.
Dude woke up during surgery.
And just looked around like, hey, old guys, can I talk to some people?
Yeah, but dude, that's messed up. That's one of those lost moments where you just want to be like, oh my God.
Yeah, it's like so weird.
Yeah, looks like.
His back was open and he's like, hey guys, let's have a chat real quick.
My back is open.
But like when they put you under, they give you several different things. And one of them's like to not feel, and one of them's to be asleep, and one of them's to be paralyzed. So maybe the only thing that wore off was the be asleep one. And he still didn't feel.
I don't know, man.
It's still whack. I'm not an anesthetologist.
The scene is whack. I know that.
And you know what? It took me until the second time I watched the episode to notice that he was looking into like a reflective pail underneath him.
I thought Jack had crazy like sideward vision.
Jack was looking around corners.
It's
somehow.
Insano walleye.
Did you catch that little throwaway line that Tom gave about everything going purple?
No.
Jack was like, hey, if you have access to get off the island, why don't you just call an expert in or something? Tom says, well, ever since everything went purple, and it gets cut off because Jack cuts him again or something.
Maybe they did have access until Desmond fucked shit up.
Which I guess is kind of a cool thing if that was what the explanation was going to be. Because
it's an electromagnet. So could it have been an electromagnetic pulse that knocked out? No, because they still have electricity.
I don't know.
It must have knocked out communication somehow.
My only problem with that would be the timeline, in that Henry Gale, I'm sorry, Ben, says that the day after he found out he had a tumor, a spinal surgeon fell out of the sky. And that was like 68 days ago. 71 days. It was like 66 days before the EMP or whatever.
Uh-huh.
So other than that, though, that was kind of cool. I thought that was a little... that was enticing. I want to know more.
I liked how Tom was very squeamish.
Yeah.
And Jack held up that grody little thing.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, then this will probably, you probably don't want to look at this. Like, when did Jack start talking shit? Like,
he probably learned that shit in medical school.
Oh, man. That's too funny.
Grossing each other out with cadavers and stuff.
Here's a funny note that I have. It's hilarious.
Yeah?
I don't know why I said that. Julia puts a gun in her butt again. You know how she keeps her butt stored, or her butt, she keeps her gun stored in the back of her jeans?
That's where she had the taser in that one episode, right?
Yeah, and she put it back there right after shooting Danny. I'm pretty sure that barrel's hot, right?
So is her ass.
They cancel out.
Yeah, that's right.
I accept that.
It's the same temperature.
I accept that theory.
Did you notice that you've got notes and I've just got, oh, hey, you remember that show? But did you notice that one of the clips on the Blipvert said God loves you as he loved Jacob?
No, I didn't see that.
Jacob is referenced before, something to do with the list.
Yes.
So that's interesting.
Yes. Are you on the list?
I
don't watch that show. That's Heroes.
Ah.
Why'd they let Carl go? Did that make sense to you?
I think it comes down to priority. Juliet realized that she could bargain away Carl and keep Alex to get rid of Sawyer and Kate to get Jack to work.
Okay.
So she was playing like all the angles. And it's all just because she wants to go home.
Yeah.
And see her little mouse of
AKA
a sister.
Her sister.
her sister brother. little mouse!
I'm looking through my notes here.
Look through them.
Chronologically.
Dead air, dude.
I know. This is totally dead air, and I cannot...
Or was it a sound edit?
No, it was dead air.
They'll never know.
I'm not editing this shit today. Just playing straight through.
I just want to finish so I can go get some Chinese food.
Story, second surgery, music kicks in, rad.
Music kicks in, rad.
Oh, I know what this is. That was awesome. I liked the tie-in with season one, with Kate telling Jack the story that he told her from the pilot episode, and then the music kicked in and it was rad.
And I was watching it. I just would have. Kate tells him that whole story. It's all emotional and it's a great acting scene. And then Jack says, "I love that story."
But it was cool because you get reactions from Sawyer, Tom, Juliet, and it's cool because they haven't heard this story before, and it's obviously something that gets Jack pumped up. And
yeah,
it was cool.
It was really cool because we know the story, we get to hear her tell it, and it with the two of them, it became like an intimate. When it was Jack and Jack telling it was like an intimate way of trying to pump her up, and now it was her just like letting go of Jack, essentially, because she knew that saying it would be like, see you later. But she didn't promise not to come back. He asked her to promise, and she didn't pinky swear or anything.
Yeah. I have some notes about that, too. But
well, tell me your notes, dude.
I'm going to get that one after Jimmy's segment, because it's a music note. And we're also going to talk about that during the coming up on Lost, because it looks like they come back with fucking guns blazing.
Yeah, we'll get into that later.
Jack's redemption! !!
Yeah, you think so?
Sure.
You turn Jack in at your local Jack Redemption Center?
Yeah, I think Jack's storyline. I mean, I think he's come to grips with his place in life, and he's done a surgery, and he's back to being a doctor.
Yeah, and I think Juliet had him pegged that he would never actually let someone die on his table.
Yeah.
I think she's right. I mean, he was desperate and he'd been put through a lot of shit, but I think at the core he is a healer.
So because you think because Jack's redeemed, what do you think that means for the future of Jack?
I think he's let go of everything and he's better able to accept himself. I think he's going to be less concerned with escape and getting out there and more concerned with finding out why he's there.
But usually in this case of redemption.
Oh, dead, you think?
Yeah.
I don't know if they can kill Jack.
They planned on doing it in the pilot episode.
Right, and he didn't die. That just shows you how indestructible he is. That the writers couldn't even kill him.
Did they say the dude with the eyeliner's name was Halpert?
Yeah, Jim Halpert.
Or was it Albert?
Something like that.
Okay.
The dude that was guarding Carl was named Aldo. Which is pretty funny considering recent Mary Worth comic strips.
What?
You guys read those?
No. Is Mary Worth still around?
Mary Worth was being stalked by this dude, Aldo Kelrast. He like showed up in her apartment building, was offering her booze, would not take no for an answer.
Where the fuck are you reading this? Why are you reading Mary Worth?
It was really funny. Like,
I thought Mary Worth wasn't funny.
It was not a drama. But it was funny to laugh at because he was like, was always like, oh, you have such lovely hands, Mary. So it became like a huge internet meme for a while.
That's weird, dude.
She turned him down, and he wouldn't take it, so they did an intervention.
Maybe the artist of Mary Worth will be at Comic-Con.
Maybe.
You could get them to sign your vagina.
Are you the creator of Mary Worth? Because you are making me laugh.
Aldo.
He went drunk driving and drove off a cliff. It's like the only Aldo I know, and it just happened this year.
What about Mort?
Or last year.
Does Mort make an appearance?
Mort?
Yeah. He's the dude with the turtleneck on Bazooka Joe comic.
He's the dude that I always say Bazooka Joe's friend, and you're always there to back me up. Mort.
Mort.
That's funny.
I only have one more note. I have one more note and one more hope.
A hope?
Let's go with...
A hope, Brady?
So I'm not going to acknowledge that Days of Our Lives reference. And I'm going to... What's your take on Danielle now?
Danielle.
Russo.
Whether I think she's lying?
Not Danielle Worth.
Danielle Worth. Nothing has happened to revise my take on Danielle.
I believe that it is strange that Danielle, who is looking for her daughter Alex, would let Ben Linus go into the hands of Saeed so quickly. Ben said, if you hand me over to these people, I will get you your daughter back.
Very interesting.
I think there was some kind of deal there. Because she fucking went to town on Saeed.
Yeah, she did. Who missed Alex?
And he had, like, he wasn't like, she knew that Ben was an other.
Yeah.
Yet she let him go?
Yeah, that's very interesting.
So something's up with those people. Do you think that Danielle's just a better actor than her husband? Ben Linus? Danielle Linus.
So do you think that maybe she's an other who's on the island pretending to be a French chick stranded there?
Yeah. Do you think that the others would allow the French transmission to go on for 16 years for reals?
They probably don't care because they seem to think that you can't get away from the island and they don't seem to have a problem with people coming to the island.
Do you think they could have set up that transmission to create a character for the lost people to come across?
You're kind of blowing my mind. I mean, yeah, if she's a plant, that would be really cool.
I think she might be.
That's got a lot of potential.
She's the island. She might be Island B security person.
That's crazy, man.
But who knows?
But, well.
Something's up.
Does Kate know that Alex is Danielle's child? Didn't she find something like that out during the staff episode?
That, I don't know.
Did they ever put that together? I can't remember.
No.
That's interesting, dude. I see where you're coming from.
And then I'm thinking, like, maybe Danielle's whole thing with taking Aaron and talking about the others was a diversion from Walt.
Yeah. Huh.
I don't know.
Well, we'll see. We'll see if that goes. But that's good to throw
that
out.
Shit.
That's crazy.
Let's get a discussion going on this.
Yeah.
This is my last non-note. It's my hope, Brady.
Your hope, Diamond.
And it's I remember hearing a while back that the show Felicity, which is a J.J. Abrams show, had ended its run. And after everything was said and done, they did something like 3 episodes later on, which was like an alternate reality type thing.
Yeah, it was like time travel.
Yeah, where incidents that happened in like season 2 were different, and this is how that would have happened.
Yeah.
I would like to see something similar happen to Lost, where the plane lands.
Whoa.
Where everyone's still alive, Locke's still in his wheelchair, Shannon never meets Saeed.
Huh.
And just you get to see all these people's lives go on as they would have and how their lives may not have been as good as if they all met each other.
That would be really cool.
So if you're listening to this and you have any say in anything, it doesn't have to be part of the storyline, just an alternate reality. I think that would be really cool.
That would be cool to see, like, just what might have been. It would be kind of like an extended version of Locke's little vision quest.
Yeah.
With Boone.
Yeah.
Except, you know, they probably wouldn't all end up working in an airport.
Yeah.
It would be Wings.
To see
the alternate universe Lost is Wings.
Just to see, like, Anna Lucia meet up with her mom.
Yeah.
And her life might actually
his
be
dad's
better.
Funeral.
Yeah.
Charlie.
There's so many things that would be different. Charlie,
Descend, probably.
Yeah, Charlie would still be a drug
addict.
Yeah,
that'd be really cool, man.
Claire wouldn't have Aaron, I guess, if there was even people to adopt Aaron in L.A.
Yeah.
Or she would be forced to take care of the baby on her own, but under different circumstances where the baby probably wouldn't get as much care.
Yeah. That's interesting, dude. I don't think I've thought that through, but that would be
cool.
Interesting to see.
I don't know what they'd be able to do with Walt because he'd be all old by that time.
Yeah. They'd have to recast him.
Or just really not.
Or just make suspension of disbelief. CG Walt.
That'd be awesome.
You can do it.
I can do it.
Go for it.
I'll do it right now. Do you have any other thoughts on Not in Portland?
Not in Portland. Well, they're not in Portland exactly.
And she's not going to Portland. So
no, they're not.
And so that's just, I'm assuming, a front company for Dharma.
Or a front company for the others, whoever they are.
Did you see how happy those people were on the slides he showed?
He said, I know these pictures are a little cheeseball, but trust me, it is really awesome there.
That was rad.
That's my Mr. Carbono.
Bat-Manuel.
I don't have much else to say about the episode.
Bat-Manuel comes from, it's from the show The Tick with Patrick Warburton.
He was on the live action The Tick.
His name is Manuel, and he's also a bat.
He's also a Batman.
Bat-Manuel.
He was also on that Brooke Shields show.
The one with Piven? No.
The Just Shoot Me or whatever. Veronica's Closet. What was the show?
Just Shoot My Closet.
Suddenly Susan. Suddenly Shoot My Closet. So I want to hear what Jimmy has to say, because I really liked some of the music he used in this week's episode.
I enjoyed it too, but you're going to have to wait, my friend.
Why is that?
Because we need to talk about Next on Lost.
Oh, my bad.
You already forgot the format. Yep. I almost forgot the format.
Hooray!
But Lost is back, so we have our format to go by, and here we go.
Well, let's go.
Coming up on Lost.
Next week on Lost.
The episode is episode 3X08.
Okay.
And the title is...
3X08? What? Really?
Yeah.
Okay, continue.
There were 6 in the first pod.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
seven
oh, yeah.
It was 2 days ago.
Okay.
So get this title.
Okay.
Flashing Before Your Eyes.
I hope it's about boobies. Flashing Before My Eyes. Wait, I didn't change it that time.
I hope it's lock-centric.
Huh?
So
it's Desmond-centric, right?
That's what I hear. Yeah. So luckily it's not like someone dying the episode, you know.
Someone dying
flashing
the episode.
Before your eyes is usually your life before you die.
Right, yeah.
But now that I heard it's Desmond-centric, that means that it probably has to do with his future sight.
Ah, flashing before his eyes.
Yeah.
Well, sure, I'd like to learn more about Desmond.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. No, he's cool.
He's
like him.
Cool.
Yeah.
I like him. Yeah.
Well, and hopefully... like, I think from the synopsis I read, we'll also get to see some Charlie and Hurley.
I didn't see the synopsis.
Well, I believe we'll see.
The only thing I saw was the fucking explosions and action-packed gunfights of Next Week on Lost.
When they come guns blaring onto Island B.
What the hell is going on that show? They just turned into an 18 episode. Posse. It's rad.
Yeah. They're going to get some fast ropes.
I don't think they're all going to fit in that little kayak. Are we going to see Locke in the hot air balloon, guns a-blazing?
They've got a kayak, a hot air balloon. They've got the Elizabeth. They've got
their
makings of a fleet.
They don't have the Elizabeth.
Why not?
Because the others took it.
Oh, the others took it.
Yeah.
Damn you, Colleen.
They have the Black Rock.
Oh, dude.
How fucking rad would that be?
They patch up the Black Rock.
They pulled the Black Rock out.
Cannons.
With...
It's the reverse of Gilligan's Island because they can patch a hole in the boat.
They tether the hot air balloon to it with Locke in it. With Sawyer in the kayak and
dropping rocks on people.
Aw, dude.
Like Ewoks.
Flash Before Your Eyes is going to be the greatest episode.
I can't wait.
Ever.
I could see them swinging from ropes off the Black Rock onto the island.
Oh, man.
Look out, Aldo. Yeah.
Nice. You can't hear it, but Ryan's humming the Goonies music.
What? It predates Goonies.
What?
But it is used in Goonies. It's for like an Errol Flynn, like pirate movie.
Fuck Errol Flynn.
A lot of people did.
Viva La Sean Astin.
Yay! Yeah, so, I mean, it
looks
like
it's a bunch of gunfighting.
Yeah, gunfighting
and
looks
like Kate goes
Desmond
back.
And Hurley. And so watch it.
Yeah.
Everybody watch it.
Watch
okay.
It.
And then
hear
let
what
us know.
We have to say about it. So I'm sure it's going to be great.
Everybody, that's your homework assignment for next week is to watch Lost. See if you can swing it together to do that.
All right.
Now can we listen to what
you
Jimmy has to say?
You
want to
listen to Jimmy has to say?
I'd like to.
It's fucking great.
Okay.
So we're going to give it to Jimmy.
All right, guys. Jimmy. Well, coming up next is our very own Seattle Jimmy with a segment about the music in Lost.
Hello once again, everybody. It's Jimmy here, chiming in from Seattle. Hope you're all well. Wasn't it great to be back? It really was. It was really refreshing to see a new episode of Lost on the TV from, you know, after what seemed like this an age with the hiatus. Very relieved, and the thought of 16 straight episodes, most appealing. Anyway, here we go. Now, of course, some of you may be regular listeners, but there's bound to be a few new listeners, given the fact that a good few months has passed and there's been a general roll call for the Lost podcasts. So I thought I'd give a quick mention that earlier on, at the start of the season, the original intention of the music segment was to examine possible theme recurrences, variations on themes, styles, comparisons to other composers, things like that. Now, one thing I did notice very much about this episode, the episode Not Important, was the fact that now that was the 7th episode this season. And sure enough, a good example of this would be the scene when Sawyer and Kate bolted out of the cage after beating up Danny and crew and running off, we actually got a recurrence of a piece of music that they used in the very first episode of this season 3, A Tale of Two Cities. Here it is.
Go, go, go!
Now, previously on The Lost Score, we actually identified this piece of music, and we when I say identified, we isolated it, and we compared it to the composer Jerry Goldsmith and his style back in the Planet of the Apes films, for example. And here's a very small excerpt from a previous Darmalaz episode. Got something for you to compare right here. So if we listen now to Sawyer's
scene. You run that way!
And now compare that to Jerry Goldsmith. Just listen to those staggered piano keys. Okay, back to Sawyer.
Say it, Carl.
So as you can see, that's another recurring theme, and it'll be interesting to see if they use that later on, presumably in frantic chase sequences. While we're talking about Planet of the Apes, listen to this scene when Ben and Juliet had their silent chat.
I'm Tom, by the way. Got history.
Ah, that is so Jerry Goldsmith. Listen to this. Now that, to me, is a classic example of a composer's influence. It's almost like the same track. I particularly have got interested in the music that they're using to portray Juliet. Okay, so far, they have used some recurring themes that are common throughout the series. There is, of course, you know, a series of stock themes that they will use that will span different characters. But it does seem to me that they are beginning to blend in elements of Kate's theme into the Juliet character, as well as some new strained strings, which to me are reminiscent of the composer Bernard Herrmann. Now, right back in our very first episode for Season 3, The Darmalaz, we discussed the fact that Michael Giacchino has got a very Herrmann-esque quality when he refers back to some of his characters. And I'm actually hearing scenes from the film Vertigo coming through to my mind when you look at Juliet. But here's something I think we should have a quick look at. Now have a listen to an element of Kate's theme that was played during a scene involving Juliet.
ex-husband wouldn't let me.
He wouldn't want you to have this opportunity?
No, he doesn't want me to have anything. He would never give the okay.
Maybe we could reach out to him on your behalf.
Don't bother.
It'd be something that he would respond to.
If you were hit by a bus, how about that? That would work. That was totally inappropriate.
No, I'm sorry,
but I wasted your time.
Dr. Burke, please.
I'm sorry. Whatever you think I am, I'm not. I'm not a leader, Mr. Albert. I'm a mess.
Now, if you listen to this portion of one of our previous episodes...
Now, they're going to use that very same element in the following scene now. It's unmistakable.
You work so hard to make her think you don't care, that you don't need her, but... A guy goes nuts if he ain't got nobody. It don't make no difference who the guy is, as long as he's with you. I tell you, a guy gets too lonely and he gets sick.
What the hell are you talking about?
It's from Of Mice and Men. Don't you read?
So you see what they did there? They took an element of Kate's theme, played it in a scene where she was being talked about, even though she wasn't in the scene, therefore invoking the memory of Kate. Simple, really, isn't it?
So I'll tell you what I'm getting out of this. I am seeing, possibly, the impression being made that that Juliet is in fact, in some way replacing Kate as Jack's love interest, with injections of Kate's theme entering into Juliet's flashbacks and Juliet's scenes in general. I also, by hearing a very Herman-esque, Vertigo kind of feel, I'm also wondering if Michael Giacchino is viewing Juliet as the ice-cool, mysterious, you know, sort of the Kim Novak character from Vertigo. I don't know, I'm seeing the whole Jack and Juliet thing suddenly start to really heat up, I think. It's interesting. And I'm not even a shipper. So, 7 episodes into it, and we're at a point where we're getting exactly what we were hoping for. Recurring themes, variations, elements, and now they seem to be jumbling them all up for different characters and pulling out a few brand new themes altogether. There was some more interesting music as well that I do want to mention next week, including that hypnosis room scene. I have a few thoughts on that. It's truly exciting stuff. Well, we'll be looking into it in a lot more depth next week. So, for now, as always, I'm going to sign off. It's been a pleasure being back. This is Jimmy in Seattle. Namaste.
The greatest.
I like that you give him a tribute with music.
Well, he is his Jimmy.
His one great love.
That's his voice, his music.
His
Jimmy wanted me to tell everybody that he wants to extend a special Valentine's wish to the girls of the Lost Initiative podcast.
Ooh.
But mostly Kimberly.
Oh.
But especially Amy. But especially Kimberly.
That's sweet. Get a little Valentine from us to them.
He forgot to say it.
From dudes to chicks.
When he sent me the file, he told me,
make sure you add this.
So yeah.
Yeah, me too. Happy Valentine's Day, ladies.
Happy Valentine's Day, everyone.
Will you choose us?
Simpsons.
It'd be funnier if I had a picture of a train. Puns, I guess, don't... Valentine cards puns don't work without pictures.
So that's it, brosive.
That's it.
Lost is back, man.
Lost is totally back.
I don't...
Lost is back, and so are we.
Dead.
That's it.
No, I didn't have anything to say about that.
I know. I know you didn't. What could you say?
I have no idea. I bet my Wookiee.
So, what are we going to throw out there before we leave? We got anything coming up we got to tell people about? Everyone go see Ghost Rider.
Go see Ghost Rider.
That's next Friday, February 16th.
Yeah.
He's the spirit of vengeance, dude.
He is the spirit of vengeance. He's also the flame warrior.
And he's got...
is that true? That's not true. I just made that up.
I was going to accept it.
Is he known as anything else?
He's known as Ghost Rider, the writer of ghosts.
Johnny Blaze.
Johnny Blaze. As portrayed by Nicolas Cage.
I saw this movie, and I told the director that I wasn't going to talk about it, but I saw this movie about a year and 3 months ago.
About a year and 2 years ago.
About a year and 3 months ago at a special screening, and I enjoyed it.
On an ass screen.
I enjoyed it. And I can't wait to see what they did to fix some of the flaws, but it's enjoyable. My friend worked on it.
Yeah.
My friend Dylan from...
Earlier.
Yeah. What were we talking about?
Something about Dylan and...
About Laddie and Zardoz.
Yeah, there you go.
So I'd say, yeah, I go see Ghost Rider. It's
go see Ghost Rider. That's what I'm saying to you.
I don't know why we're doing a commercial for Ghost Rider.
I was more of like a recommendation.
We could talk about it at Comic-Con.
That's right. I hope we do.
See as many comic book movies as you can this year and discuss it with us at Comic-Con.
I'm on it.
Sweet.
Consider it done.
Comic-Con's going to be cool. We were just chatting with Jay before.
Yeah.
And we are going to meet up with Jay, and we're excited about that.
Yeah.
And Jay told me something. I'm not supposed to know if I'm supposed to talk about it, but he's trying to get Ryan from the Transmission to go to Comic-Con. And Ryan, if you're listening...
go to Comic-Con.
Come to Comic-Con. Yeah. It'll be tons of fun.
It's a lot of fun.
Two tons of fun with us there.
No kidding.
Ooh, man, I had two corn dogs for dinner.
Between the two of us, we could probably kill two people.
Tiny people.
Tiny, tiny. Corn dogs, actually, is what I meant.
Children.
Yeah, Comic-Con's a lot of fun, but that's way in the future.
I know. We'll be done with all these 15 episodes.
Hey, yeah, something special is happening next week.
What's happening next?
Some dude I know is getting wicked ass old.
Well, first of all, we can talk about that next week.
We'll talk about
next week. But first,
that's
I want to
a
say
teaser.
Happy birthday to my wife, Stevie. It's
happy birthday, Stevie, from Ben as well.
Today. I'm going to say today because this will be up
Saturday.
On her birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Stevie. Also, want to pimp our new shit?
Yeah, pimp it.
You pimp it.
All right. Well, Everyone give us a call at the Dharma line. Drop us a line. Let us know what you're thinking. We put most of the phone calls into you all, everybody.
We put all of the phone calls?
No, we edit them out if they're from children.
If they're from children, Ben puts those in his secret folder.
I put those in my private folder. So everyone give us a call at the Dharma line. Drop us a line. Let us know what you think about the show, what you think about Lost, if you have any theories or plans or hopes.
We only have 3 calls this week.
No, it's been a hiatus.
They're from a while ago, and one of them is someone making a noise.
That's sheer genius.
Yes.
Why don't you guys get on that? So, yeah, give us a call at 206-338-4261.
Nice.
Yes!
You got it right.
That's...
if you don't feel like talking to us, if you want to send us an email at dharmalars@gmail.com.
You can check out our MySpace page at myspace.com/dharmalars.
And you can visit our blog, which I don't even visit that much, but hey, if you want to, it's a lot of fun. I go there and say stupid things twice in a week, so there you have it. DharmaLarsPodcast.blogspot.com. Of course, we always hang out at ScottandSteve.blogspot.com. That's where I spend most of my time talking to Jimmy, Amy, and all the other folks. Kim and Tita and Mike and Amy and Sunlock and Palmer Eldritch and Satan. And Tim and Liz.
Oh, man. Speaking of Satan, you know that recap show, huh?
How about that? You were very stoked that Hughes and Lindelof were, like, ready to make out.
I thought that they were. It's good. It's good to see that. No, I thought it was very interesting to see them talking about the show, like, as producers. So watch our show, because really it's not that hard to follow. We promise you, you'll be able to catch up.
It was, that was strange.
Very strange. Oh, and the part where Alex picks up Kate and grabs her boobs on accident. They left that in the recap.
Oh, from the
where they're on the Pala Ferry dock.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty funny. Bubes. So yeah, so check us out on the internet and tell us about bubes. Do you have a line to go out on this week? You got any?
Shit. I was going to tell you to come up with a movie at the beginning of the show.
Oh.
And then I was going to.
Well, I did. I came up with a movie at the very beginning of the show. Zardoz.
I am an electric boner erection.
I see.
I don't have a. Think of a movie.
Well played. Metropolis. Yeah, go out on a line from Metropolis. Hey, go out on a line from Space Mutiny. Have you done that one yet?
I don't know. I only know lines that. I'll give you a line from the MST3K.
Yeah.
Space Mutiny.
You can go out from a line from the MST3K version of Space Mutiny. Okay, so thanks for listening to the Darmalars. We'll look forward to seeing you next week. We'll talk about Lost and other shit. Producer Ryan giggling on the bed like a hyena.
Thank you, Jimmy.
Seattle Jimmy up in the north.
Thank you, Lost Initiative girls.
Thank you, Kim and Amy.
And everybody else.
Everybody else. I'll talk to you later next week. Ralph. So, Lost a La Vista, everyone.
Calgon blew me away. That's a good episode. You all, everybody.
Hey guys, this is Wannabe Actuary. You guys haven't had a podcast in a while, but I had to call because I know you guys had an explicit tag, and this is not Lost related, but I need to vent and hear it later. I had a half day today, company department holiday party. My last day in this department before I go to a different department next week, and leaving the holiday party, I come out to my car to find one of my coworkers hit my fucking car. How do you hit a fucking parked car? You know, you're driving a fucking SUV. You can't fucking see. You suck dick because you're gay as hell and you're flaming but won't admit it. But you hit my goddamn fucking car. Hate you. Thanks, guys. Woo, woo, woo!
Hey, Ralph and Ben. Mike from New Hampshire, and I just hope you guys are having a good new year, well, pre-new year, and then post-new year, and I hope everyone has a good year, and I hope we get some new Darmalars come February. Oh, I'm a bad Lost fan, because I can't remember the exact date it comes back, February 6th or 4th, but I'll be there, man. I've already got my Lost party initiated, because it's the initiative. No, not funny. Well, I'll keep trying my bad humor and local comedy clubs. Hopefully one day I'll make it big. Yeah, so I hope you guys have a good new year, and I can't wait for the new one. Take care, guys. Bye.
Can we dedicate this episode to our candle in the wind, Anna Nicole Smith?
God. Did you hear about The View? Yesterday on The View, before What's-Her-Face died, before Anna Nicole Smith died, Rosie O'Donnell was saying how she was sick of Anna Nicole Smith and doesn't want to see her in any more news stories. She's tired of it.
She didn't get her wish.
So she didn't get her wish, or did she get her wish?
Well, eventually, I guess.
Eventually, she'll get her wish. One.
Two.
Wait, are you recording?
Okay.
Three.
Four.
Five.
Six.
Seven.
Eight.
Nine.
Ten.
11.
12.
12.
All right.
What? The one time we record the count off and you only go up to 12?
You know what? The late 20s and early 30s are really my least favorite numbers anyway.
Oh. You're old.
That's why. Oh,
you're old.